Good afternoon, evening, probably morning somewhere in the world. My name is Luann, and I am way a compulsive overeater. A little bit about me. I don't know when I started. Well, I know that I was born a normal weight. I was born 6 pounds something or other. But by the time I was 6 years old, I had to wear the chubby sizes. I was 144 pounds. I was 5'4" at my tallest. So I was probably 5 foot tall at age 12, 5'2". I was 144 pounds. Now that's not unusual for today's society, but back in the 60s, I was like often the fattest person in the room. My family put me on diet pills at age 7. I don't know many people today that would give amphetamines to a child, but that was the diet pill culture at the time. It just goes on from there. I mean, my life has been a series. When the book says, "What are the different ways we tried to control our eating?" Yeah, almost all of them. I did not wire my jaw closed. I have not taken the latest weight loss drugs, but I certainly took weight loss drugs. I did, the shocking behavioral modification, pretty much every diet that's out there, and I up and down and up and down and up and down. So by the time I was very healthy. I was not diabetic, my body champion pancreas. I'll give you enough insulin to cover that candy you're eating. But when I hit about age 30 and 300 pounds, I started having medical problems. I thought I was relatively happy. In my mind, my memory is, unless I look at a picture of myself today, in my memory, I was fairly happy. My struggles were becoming physical, and I'd always had the societal judgment. You all, if you are not a normal body weight, you guys all know what I'm talking about. Strangers asking me at a deli, should I be eating that food? Or teenagers leaning out their car windows as they drive past and making fun of me. I'm just all that nonsense. Let's just say that shame was a huge part of my life. But I also grew up in a family where we don't talk about our feelings, which is maybe a whole lot of the reason why I was eating. And so I just buried it. I buried feelings about being fat, and I buried feelings about the feelings about being fat. I mean, it was just not easy. And I actually came into program the first time in 1984. I was in my mid-20s. And it was pretty amazing. I was in the San Fernando Valley, which is where OA started. And there was a lot of strong program. I remember people telling me, if you want real recovery, get an AA sponsor. Because, as is unfortunately often the problem today, people come into the rooms looking to lose weight or solve their eating disorder problem. And that's kind of where they get stuck. They get stuck in the first half of step one, even if they work the steps. In my experience, a lot of people over the years, a lot of people have said, "Can you sponsor me, take me through the steps?" I think all of us that have been around a little while, have people approaching them all the time. But many of the people in OA depend on the tools. Maybe they'll do the steps. Maybe they'll do the steps the really soft way. They write their own autobiography. And that's it. That's what they were instructed to do. But what ended up happening was I had enough recovery to make it to about 3 years of abstinence. And then I had a hard weekend. A cousin had died, and I just went out. And I came back in. I had years of no abstinence, years of abstinence. I'd get a little bit of time here and there. While I was away from the rooms, I tried more drugs. I was on Fen-Phen when it came out. Oh, it's great. It's a miracle. It changed my desire for food. Oh, wait, it'll kill me. Maybe not such a good choice. I had set gastric bypass surgery in 20 years ago, 23 years ago. And that seemed to be a pretty magic answer. My friend decided to have a gastric bypass surgery, and scared the crap out of me because I remember the days in the late 60s, early 70s when that was a lot of people died from the surgery. So I was not happy. I did a lot of research, discovered that the surgery was different than it had been and that it was considered successful. A little more research showed me that regaining only half your weight was considered successful. So I had the surgery. And really, the thing that made me decide to have the surgery was not, oh, I'll be a normal body weight. It's magic. Really, the reason I said yes was because I was 325 pounds. And as I say, I'm 5'4". There was nothing between me and 400. There was no ceiling. There was nothing. I was gaining 10 pounds a year, no matter what I did. Even if I lost, I regained and more. And I'm just like, I scared the crap out of me. I got to do this. Well, I lost 100, more than 100 pounds. And then about 3 years later, it started coming back on again. And I made it back up to 267. I remember very clearly. And I said, oh crap. I was told it's not magic, but it's not magic. What am I going to do? And a therapist said, I didn't want to go back to program. I can't even tell you why. A therapist said, do me a favor, just go to three meetings. Just for me, just go for me, go to three meetings. Well, obviously, I got back into program. That was 2008. And there were some strong meetings. I was in Orange County, California. There were some very strong meetings. I had a good sponsor, a couple of good sponsors over the years, and I got a lot more recovery, but it wasn't enough. And I mean, I was making the phone calls, mostly making the phone calls, you know, calling three people a day, reading my big book, working the steps. What are the other tools, right? There's a whole, we have a whole set of tools now. Unfortunately, in the rooms I was in, and I'll blame somebody else for this. In the rooms I was in, there wasn't a strong emphasis on talking about the steps, talking about what the solution is in the rooms. People would talk about, they would mention the steps, but there was a lot of the shares were, I'm having trouble with food. What's my food plan? I've been calling my sponsor, and a lot and a lot of self-help. It was like a group therapy. Here's how my week went. And I had a sponsor one day say to me, you need to ta I was complaining about the dilution of the message in the rooms, and she said, take some responsibility, your responsibility, she said to me, as a recovered member, is to take the message to the rooms. And she said, share 1 minute on the problem and 2 minutes on the solution. And the solution is not a food plan, and the solution is not calling my sponsor, and the solution is not writing, and the solution is the 12 steps. And not just once, but doing the steps over and over again, because as we heal, as we get more recovery, new layers are revealed. The book says we can't rest on our laurels. So in fact, right after you finish 5, 6, 4, 5, 6, 7, it says, no, excuse me, it's after after 9. It says, it doesn't say now for the maintenance steps 10, 11, and 12. It says now our purpose is to grow in spirit. So having gotten through step 9, as magic as it is, as amazing as it is, that is not the time to coast. I said to an AA friend one time, he was 26 years sober. He was an OA friend. I said, why do you still go to AA meetings if you're 26 years sober? He said, I go to carry the message to new people in those rooms. And I know we've all heard this before, but I just really want to do a, if I can, a sales pitch for my experience, which is that once I started getting desperate, once I had the surgery and I started regaining my weight, and I said, crap, this isn't working. What am I going to do? I have done increasing levels of back to the big book. There's a big movement out there in all the 12-step programs, getting back to basics. How did the first 100 recover? How do we get back to the big book? How do we get back to more pure recovery? How do we strengthen the dilution of our message, which is sort of a natural evolutionary process in any human thing? And I have to tell you that each time I did the steps again in a deeper and deeper way, and there's a bunch of them out there, you just go on the internet. There's plenty of stuff out there that has talk to friends. Where are the really good big book studies? Where's the really good approaches to getting into the message of how they recovered? I found that first I did one that was pretty good. And by the end of that one, it was really apparent to me that the answer was step 12. That if I was working with others, just like Bill found, he was at the Mayflower Hotel. He had had, I think he had 6 or 8 months of sobriety at that point. He was at the Mayflower Hotel in Ohio, in Akron, Ohio, and he had a business deal go bad. And he's like, oh God, the bar sounds, it was in the hotel lobby. What am I going to do? How am I going to pay my hotel bill? And the noise of the clinking glasses and laughter in the bar were calling to him. And he said, I have to find another alcoholic to work with or I'm sunk. And so that's when he called. He hooked up with Dr. Bob. The rest is history. But that idea that we need to help others to keep what we have, to pass the message on, and it's not in any, it doesn't have to be altruistic. It can be, hi, I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. I used to weigh this and this has changed in my life. I'm in rocky ground. Just all I need is to talk, share this with somebody. You can listen or not, tune me out if you want to, but for my own safety, for my own salvation, I have to share what's happened with me with another compulsive eater. So anyway, I did that study and it was very powerful for me and I got a lot of recovery out of it. And then I moved to San Diego and my new San Diego family basically were doing another kind of workshop that really focused on the spiritual part of the program. It's focused on, the book says, page 60, I think it is, we had to quit playing God. We had to quit the selfishness. And it talks about how we are still trying, if we're discontented, if I'm discontented, my first impulse is to try to fix the situation or fix other people or fix myself. And the problem is that I can't fix myself. A broken person can't fix a broken person. So on my own, I would just try to diet harder. I was gaining weight again. I'm going to diet harder. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to try harder to not be selfish. I'm going to try harder to not play God. And then one day I was on, in a workshop, big book workshop, and the partner I had, step partner, we would read out loud to each other pages 60 to 64 every day for a week. And I was like, I know this. I've read this before 100 times. I've been in programs since 1984. I know all this stuff. Well, about day six, I was reading out loud and I read, I'm going to paraphrase here, we had to quit playing God. We had to quit being selfish, and God has to help us with it. And I got it in that moment. I got it that I cannot recover on self-will. It is nothing, it's the opposite of willpower. Do I have actions I have to take? Yes. But me driving my own recovery, it's like me sponsoring myself. It doesn't work. Self-reliance failed me. We had to quit playing God. I can't be my own God. We had to quit. And I've been in theater a lot my life. So that whole bit about the actor playing the director, I totally get it. I totally get it. I used to direct a show where one of the actors kept trying to tell me how to direct them. No. So today, I have to say, number one, if you're new to the rooms, get a sponsor, use the tools, absolutely use the tools, because at the beginning, until you found a connection with a higher power, which will lead you to in the steps will lead you to, it's going to be white knuckling at first, unless some people are struck abstinent. It's fabulous. Not all of us are. So at the beginning, those tools are super important as you get your feet under you and you've done some step work. But the magic is in the steps. The book has a whole chapter called There Is a Solution. And the solution is a spiritual program of action, a spiritual program of recovery. So if you're new, get as soon as you can, get a sponsor and start working the steps in the big book. I know there's a lot of ways of doing it, but I got to tell you, that's the other ways were a softer, easier way. And I did not get recovery from them, my personal experience. So if you've been around the rooms a while and you've done the steps a couple times, I certainly had, do it again. Find a deeper, a more profound process. Because what I've discovered is as the layers come off, I need to do a fourth step that goes deeper. I found one that got behind my armor because I'm an intellectual and I faced the world with my thinking, and that was my defense against pain and suffering. It was food in my brain. I had to find a way to work the steps that got behind that armor and threw me to my knees. It surrendered me. The process surrendered me. So I have to say, I think I'll just wrap up with this. Yes, weight loss is important for most of us that comes in the room. My top weight was 325. I'm around 200 right now. Do I have more weight to lose? Yes, I do. But today I have to promise you, this is not about the food. That's the reason that brought me in. And yes, I have an addiction to certain food substances and certain food behaviors, but I have a food plan and I follow it. And I am so much more healthy than I was physically. I'm also a lot more healthy emotionally and spiritually. In the Step 10 Promises, pages 84 and 85, it promises us we will cease fighting our food addiction, that we're not avoiding temptation by white knuckling it. We're placed in a position of neutrality. And then the next paragraph says, it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We're headed for trouble if we do, for our eating addiction is a subtle foe. So what that tells me is I can't go through the steps once or once every 5 years and expect to stay recovered. I wake up every morning with a choice. I can choose the recovery path. I can choose to go back, even if it means a little bit of slippery slope. If I'm not on the recovery path, my spiritual path with my higher power, I'm in danger. And so today, this 12 steps for me, every step can be restated as self-reliance failed me. I need a power greater than human power in my life that I'm one day at a time learning how to rely and trust in. I have a daily practice of step 10 and 11, which is basically 4 through 9. This is my opinion because there's a lot of controversy about what exactly is 10 and 11. To me, 10 is my being in the world, my relationships, my stepping on people's toes. I keep an eye out. 4 through 7 gave me an awareness of how I act out, of my character defects, if you will. And so my job daily, moment by moment, is to keep an eye out for those times when I start being self-reliant, I start being judgmental of others, I start all those things that I tend to do when I'm in charge of me and I'm not being my recovered self. And I clean that up as soon as I can. To me, step 11 is my spiritual relationship. And in the book, the words sound the same. There's a lot of the same words said over and over again. But to me, the focus is different. In step 10, I'm cleaning up my mess and getting right with people. In step 11, I'm getting right with my higher power. I'm developing that spiritual relationships, prayer and meditation, talking to God and listening to God, whatever your concept of higher power is. And then of course there's carry the message, because that's absolutely, it's not an 11-step program, it's a 12-step program. We need to be doing that. We need to be, in my opinion, I'm going to proselytize a little bit. We need to be bringing the message of 12-step recovery into our rooms. I struggle with this. There are times when I go to meetings and all the people are just talking about food and calling their sponsor and how their day went, and I can't stay. I just can't. There, but when I can carry the message, I need to, for my own sake, I need to do
That's
that.
fine.
Thank you very much. Thank you for allowing me to share, and I will turn it back over to the leader.